We all want to be part of something big, right? Who wants to piddle away their life and do nothing? And when it's all over, just say, I just existed and lived and I didn't really do anything. The truth is, as you know, there's a tremendous uneasiness in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. And it's because the numbers are dropping like lead balloons, as they say. Our culture is decaying and dying, and therefore, why go to church anymore? If you don't have it real in your heart, you know, people are just not going to church anymore. And as you know, we've stated it many, many times that the young people in particular are just abandoning the church. Pastor David gave me this book to read, at least a part of it. There's a book by the Rainiers entitled Simple Church. And that's a great, great book about how in history we started out with a simple church and then we added Sunday school, then we added Awana, then we added children's church, and we added all these things and we just kept adding. And the point of it is, let's just go back to a simple church where we do what they did originally, that kind of a thing. But this one's entitled Essential Church. In their studies and in all of their debates with people and all of their things, they came to some conclusions. I'd just like to read again a little bit of them, and you've heard this before. More than two-thirds of the young people who go to church today will drop out between the age of 18 and 22. Most of them will disdain their faith. Statistically, 70% of the young people, according to this book, Southern Baptists, of course, did a study. To them, it's 80% of Southern Baptist young people, by the time they're a sophomore in college, disdain the faith that they have. And as you read through it, everybody's trying to figure out what's going wrong. Why are these young people leaving us? And they leave not only our church and don't ever want to come back to our church. They don't want to come back to church at all. And they don't want anything to do with this faith. And part of my ministry is interacting with young guys. I had a note here from one of our former interns. He's just really frustrated with the church. And he's a great, great guy. And he just says, why is it not real? Why is the Church of Jesus Christ just not authentic? And we all play church and we all go to church and we have it all down to a science. But, you know, why don't we care about people? And he's going to be all right. He's a seminary student. I think he's going to make it. But you understand there's an itch that needs to be scratched. Here's what this particular book says. Church-going students drop out of church because it is not essential in their life. They don't see it as essential. Why do it? Why be here? What's it doing? Why does it do anything in my life? Here's another statement. Young adults are likely to stay in church if they see that the church is essential in their life. Here are the four major components, according to these men, of what needs to be done. Number one, the church has to simplify. Just get rid of all the excess stuff, baggage that over the years we've added. And we're all busy doing all kinds of things. Just simplify the church. Number two, we have to focus in and deepen our knowledge of God's word. That should be the priority, what we're doing. We should have high expectations for our people, that if you're a part of this church, you're expected to serve in some ministry somewhere. If you don't want to do that, then you probably shouldn't be a part of our church. The churches that are really growing, by the way, today have that. They have that mindset. If you don't want to serve, if you want to take one service a week and do something like work in the nursery, teach Sunday school, whatever, you shouldn't be a part of us. And they're just that blunt about it. Have high expectations of your people. And finally, the one that I keep reading the most about is the reality that most people don't think the church is essential because we're just playing games. And we're really not reaching out to our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not just young people like this who are saying, why go to church? Go through the motions. It's the church in general today that's crying out in all the studies that I've ever seen in the last years are saying that kind of a thing. Why don't we ever hear about us reaching out to our community and being essentially designing our ministries to reach them instead of just carrying on what we have always done? Well, if you think about that, you realize that they're asking for something called essential church or authentic church or outreaching church or whatever it is, real church, something like that. And that is the cry of our hearts, not just of young people, but of us. And today we're going to actually start a series from the book of Acts, because sometimes you have to go back to basics. And when you go back to the book of Acts, you realize here's a church, the Church of Jesus Christ, that as you read the book of Acts, of course, the theme is the spreading flame. It's like taking gasoline and throwing it on the carpet here and just taking 5-10 gallons of gasoline, spreading all over this carpet, and then standing over there and taking a match and throwing it down. You know what happened? I think you're all smart enough to know what happened, right? The flame would spread and you would not be able to put it out. No matter how hard you tried to stop that flame, You would not be able to put it out because the carpet is soaked with 10 gallons of gasoline. And the book of Acts is about the spreading flame. It's about the church of Jesus Christ. No matter how hard they put it out, tried to put it out, it just went faster and greater until it became a dominating force in the world around them. And so today we just want to think about what are some of the keys to that. And I'd like you to turn to chapter 1 and verses 6 through 7, just the key verses that give us the outline of the book and the key thoughts of the book. And perhaps as you think about it, if you want to be a part of something big, you want to be a part of something real, you want to be a part of something that's eternal and significant and meaningful, you don't want to piddle away your life in 1,000 lesser things. You want to do something that's real, genuine, authentic. And here's what they had to find out. Verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, you remember the context, Christ died, he was buried, he rose again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ put within the disciples. You remember in the Gospel of Matthew, they had met him on the mountain in Galilee. 120 of them met him on the mountain of Galilee. And for 40 days, he's seen by them. And now the resurrection of Jesus Christ has renewed some hopes in their life. Some hopes they had when he was alive, some hopes that were dashed when he had died, and it has to do with the kingdom. And here's what it says. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So they think, okay, all of our hopes that the kingdom has to do with Israel, and the kingdom is this political entity with spiritual truths, and Jesus Christ is the key to it. All those hopes that we had while he was alive, all those hopes that were dashed when he died, all those hopes are renewed when he rose from the dead, and now we can say, are you going to restore it? Is it going to happen now? And here's what he says to them. Verse 7 and 8 is the key to the book, and it's the key to being a part of something big in your life. Here's what he says. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As you think about it, it's really, really simple. Do you want to be a part of something big? Here's what it takes. Don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by things that are not important for you to even think about or worry about. That was their desire. That was their question. That was their goal. Is this time for you to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And he says it's not for you to know the times, which is the duration of time, or the season, which is the quality or the characteristics of the times. You guys are all focused in on the wrong thing. And what you're focused in on is times and seasons and restoration of kingdom. It's not for you to know that. God the Father alone knows that. And one of the great tendencies of our life and living is for us to become a people who somehow focus in on the wrong things. And the truth is, you do not need to know how it ends. You don't have to know when it ends. You don't have to know what only God the Father knows. You don't have to be involved in things that only God the Father is. You know what you got to do? Just focus in on what you're supposed to do. That's all you got to do. Have you ever been a part? I remember when I built bridges, everybody thought they knew how to build bridges and wouldn't listen to the boss, who was the superintendent of the project, you know. And everybody's just smarter than anybody else. And you know what would have been great? If everybody got to the job in the morning and just did their part. You just do what your job is to do and don't worry about everybody else. You just do your job. And Christ is saying to the disciples, 120 here, who are thinking, all right, we're going to restore the kingdom of Israel. He says, you don't need to know how this thing ends. You don't have to know when it ends. God the Father will take care of all that kind of stuff. What you need to do is just do your job. And we're going to read what that job really is. You want to be a part of something big? Just do what you're supposed to do. When you read the book of Acts, if we had the time to read it all, and you might want to read it as we go through this in the next weeks in our evening service. You know what? That's exactly what they did. And they kept preaching. And you know what they kept preaching? The kingdom of God. Again and again, it says in the book of Acts, they preached the kingdom of God. 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 The last words in the book of Acts, you know what they are? They were preaching the kingdom of God. You don't need to know how this whole thing ends. You don't have to know when it ends. Just do your job. Just preach the kingdom of God. Just preach the message that God has given to you. You go out there and do it. You have to have the right priorities in your life. You're going to be distracted by 1,000 other things that seem really important. Just go out and do what you're supposed to do and let God take care of all the rest. Notice the next thing as you read on in verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in His own hand, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. One of their tendencies is to think, you know, to be a part of something big, you know what, I have to know how this whole thing ends. No, you don't. You can be a part of something big and not even know where it's going to end or when it's going to end or anything. The other thing we might say is this. I need to be a part of something big. I need great ability. I have to be this flamboyant, wonderful, charismatic, gifted, spectacular person who can do all these spectacular things. And he says, no, you don't. You want to be a part of something big? God's not looking for people who are these spectacular people, who these extra gifted people, all these super saints in some way or another. He doesn't need that. You know what you have to do? You just have to do your job. And while you're doing your job, you just rely on the Holy Spirit of God. You can think of all the Old Testament guys and ladies. You can think of the New Testament guys and ladies who in one way or another had to learn that lesson. Remember Moses? He comes around and says, I'm not very good at this. First, he thought he was really good at it, and God had to show him he wasn't very good at it. Then when he said, I'm not very good at it, God had to show him that he could do it. Gideon, Jeremiah. You go through all those men and women of the Old Testament. He is not looking for gifted and spectacularly talented people. He's looking for willing people because he can empower them. And in the New Testament in particular, here's what he said. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. If you go back to verse 4 and 5, you've heard of me. Verse 4, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And there is a power that's available for God's people to do His work. And it's not your own ability. You don't need great ability to be part of something big. You don't have to be this special super saint to be a part of something big. If you read the book of Acts, you recognize it's exactly what happened. We call it the Acts of the Apostles. We've probably misnamed it, haven't we? It's not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because if you take the word Holy Spirit, the words Holy Spirit, and just go through the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit 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 and the Holy Spirit, and wherever they went, great things were happening. Because the Holy Spirit of God was the one that was empowering them. And you guys don't need great abilities. But you do need to rely on the Spirit of God to guide and direct in your life. And He can do that. You could be part of something big if you just do your job. Just do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about anything else. If you rely on the Holy Spirit of God to help you through. Remember, Paul would even say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, our gospel did not come to you in great words. Paul was not a great preacher, contrary to what we think. But it came in power and the Holy Spirit. And much conviction of heart. And that's what Paul came across. He would say in 1 Corinthians, you know, when I first went to some people, I tried to persuade them with great words. But I've given up on all of that. I just preach Christ. I just preach Christ and Him crucified. And the simplicity of that message. And so you don't need to have great ability. You just need to rely on the Spirit of God. Reading on in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. You know, most of us think I can't be part of something big like the Church of Jesus Christ because I don't know what to say. You know, I didn't go to seminary. I don't know Greek. I don't know Hebrew. I didn't study theology. I didn't have exegesis classes. I never took a class called homiletics or hermeneutics. I don't know anything. I don't know what to say. Who am I to get up in front of people and communicate truth and be used of God? That's for somebody else. He says, you don't need to do that. You do not need to be a person who is saying something profound that somehow is just spectacular in your communication of truth. Do you know what you need to do? You need to be a person who just shares what you already know. You know that the word witness is martyr. A martyr is one who just tells people what he knows from life experience. It's the word that would be used, for example, in John chapter 9, one of our favorite verses about martyrs, about witnesses. When the blind man was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, And the great debate was, is this man sinned or his mom and dad? And then when he gets healed, the Pharisees are all bent out of shape because this guy is healed. And so they're trying to challenge, who was it that healed you? Explain it to us. His parents go, hey, don't ask us. One day he was blind. He shows up the next day. He can see. We didn't do anything. Don't blame us. We're not responsible for his healing. And they go to the man and they're just pounding on him. Explain to us who it is that healed you on the Sabbath. This is wrong. We don't like people to be healed from blindness. And then he says in that great, great passage, says, well, I really don't know what to say to you. All I know is this. I once was blind. And now I can see. That was the end of his discussion. Boy, did it make him mad. You don't have to say something profound. You don't have to know everything to communicate truth. You could just be a witness. Just tell people what you know, what has happened to you, how Christ saved you, and how Christ and the Holy Spirit are directing and light leading in your life and how you're growing in that. Just to be witnesses. By the way, one of the great, great trends of our day is the emergent church. And the latest book is entitled An Emergent Manifesto of Hope by Doug Paget and Tony Jones. And it's 32 chapters of these guys and women trying to explain it. And when you're done with it, you're totally, it's like 32 people writing a book, totally uncoordinated, and you're just totally confused. It's like, why didn't somebody put this together right? But here's one thing you catch from it. I will just read this summary. If there's one central theme, it is the kingdom of God. Every writer writes about the kingdom of God. But they have taken a decidedly liberal approach to the kingdom of God. They are postmillennial in their position concerning the kingdom of God. They believe the kingdom is on earth now, and it will progressively become more like the kingdom of heaven as it is advanced through men in the church, taking care of social injustice, disease, poverty, racism, war, and ecological concerns. And then the kingdom of God will be more and more. One of the great, great dangers of our day is the reality that guys that you like will face. Is reality people don't want to preach about Christ crucified. They don't want to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to talk about the kingdom of God and how we're bringing it in as we take care of racial and injustice and war and poverty and disease. And if we get rid of all those things, then we are doing what God wants us to do. No, he said this, you shall be witnesses to me. You just tell people what I did in your life. You don't have to say something profound. You just have to be people who share what you know. You could be part of something great. And that's exactly what happened in the early church. 29 times in the book of Acts, it says that they were witnesses. That they just went out and told people what had happened to them, what Christ had done in their life. That's all it is. As you move on in verse 8, it goes like this. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. A lot of people think if I'm going to be a part of something big, I have to move. I have to go where the action is. I have to go somewhere else. God has to send me. The truth is, he says, you don't even have to move. Guess where you can be witnesses? Well, guess where you can do your thing for God? You can do it in Jerusalem. Now, some of them will move to Judea and Samaria. And some of them will be to the uttermost parts of the earth. And as you study the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. Some of them just stayed in Jerusalem. And when they were in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1 through chapter 7, you know what they did? They were witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ right where they were. And then you know what happened in chapter 8 and chapter 9? Persecution, primarily through Paul, the future apostle at that point. And as they were scattered to Judea and Samaria, guess what happened? They were witnesses. So as life pushed them out, wherever they were pushed out, they continued to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get to Acts chapter 13, and God specifically sends some, Paul and Barnabas to begin with. And when they're sent, they are witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether you're staying or whether you're scattered because of life circumstances or whether you are specifically sent by God to specific places for ministry, you know what? You can be a part of something big. You really do not have to move. You really can serve wherever you are. In fact, I trust that you've already experienced that. You don't have to go to Africa to be used of the Lord. You don't have to go to Europe. You don't have to go to New York City. You don't have to go to Chicago. You could be used of the Lord right here. One of the great goals that I pray for when I think of our kids in school, high school, I trust that everybody who graduates from high school has clearly led someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, someone their own age, someone in their peer group, and they have led them to Christ. That individual has been baptized, and that individual is now a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's a great thing to have when you graduate from high school, and I trust that you see you can do it wherever you are. You can do it right here. God might send you. God might scatter you. Or God might just let you be here. In either way, whatever it is, you can be a part of something big. Sometimes I think we think that when you're sent a long ways away, you are somehow a notch above the people who happen to stay and just serve God here. But that is not true from Scripture. Whatever you do, wherever God puts you, you just serve Him now. So you don't need to know how it ends. Just do your job. You don't have to have great ability. Just rely on the Holy Spirit. You don't have to say something profound. Just share what you already know. You don't have to move. Just serve where you are. And if God moves you, that's great too, because He does for some. One last thing that perhaps we didn't catch as we were reading through it. The second word of verse 8 is perhaps the most important word. A lot of times we think, to be a part of something big, I have to be special. You know, that's for these people. That's for talented people. That's for special people. That's for, you know, unique people. They're a part of something big. Oh, wow, they're doing something great. And what the Lord Jesus Christ says, but you. And as you know from verse 7 and 8, He's not suggesting. He's not even commanding. He's just saying, this is a fact. I'm predicting, Jesus Christ, you will be. You're going to be witnesses for me. You know, to be a part of something big, all you have to do is be yourself. And go do what God wants you to do. And don't try to be somebody special. Just be yourself. Just do what you can do. Just be where God puts you. Just share what you have already learned and experienced in your relationship to Jesus Christ. Just trust God to do the work and rely upon the Spirit of God. And don't worry about how it's all going to end or when it's going to end. You don't have to know all that. You just be someone who allows God to take care of all the timing and all that's going on. As we read the book of Acts in the next few Sundays, as we in our evening service, it's an exciting book, as you know. It's like a spreading flame. Nothing can stop it as the gospel moves forward and takes lives. And when you're all done, some very common people who are just fishermen and just tent makers and just whatever it was, some very common people were used by God to do something very, very great. And I trust that as you move forward in your life, wherever you are, whatever school you go to, whatever occupation you take, wherever you happen to live, whatever it is that God has for you in the future, you would just remember these words. Keep your priorities straight and do what's important. And I trust that'll be true in all of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for these young people. We see so much potential. We kind of wish in some ways we could back up life, that we could be sitting there. How many things we'd do different? How many decisions we'd make that would be different than the decisions we made? But we cannot back up life. We cannot rewind life. We have lived our life. And so today, Father, we pray for them, that you would guide and direct in their lives and just in a unique and special way help them to be a part of something really, really big, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. They would not be one of these statistics of someone who is disenchanted with church as they know it, and therefore throw out the baby with the bathwater. They throw it all out. Father, I sense there's a tremendous movement going on amongst our young men and women for something called real church. And I'm excited to be a part of that. I'm excited that we can see it happening in our own age. Father, I pray for these young men and women and the future for them, that they might be a part of what you are doing in our world today. And we'll thank you for that, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.